am so glad you're joining me today. We've got a real special show because of Coach Ron Brown. Let me give you a real quick snippet of who he is and why that if you're a sports enthusiast, whether you are or you aren't, but this particularly if you enjoy sports of any type, you're going to want to listen to this interview today. The other thing is if you're a Christian, this man's on fire for his love for Jesus Christ. But also, if you're a non-believer, you're going to want to hear Coach Ron Brown's message today. He has a unique gift and a very, very interesting past. Let me give you a little bit of background before I introduce him. Currently, Coach Ron Brown is the Liberty University Flames running backs coach, which began December 14, 2016. However, he joined Liberty University back in May of 2015. He joined Turner Gill's team as the assistant head coach and wide receivers coach. But this is also, though, following 24 seasons as the assistant coach at Nebraska University, many of those seasons working under the legendary Tom Osborne. But Coach Ron Brown has a unique gift of using sports as a way of not only spreading the faith, but raising up these young men to be the young men that God intended these guys to be. Because Coach Ron Brown knows that sports can be used for good, or like most everything, it can be used for evil. And he has tremendous experience in working with young men from all sorts of different backgrounds and raising them up to be young men of stature, young men of character, and young men who he's helped raise that bar so they could go above and beyond what they ever thought that they could be. This is Terry Beatley, your host of What If We've Been Wrong? I'm shining light into some dark places so that beauty, goodness, and truth defeat the schemes of the enemy. It's true, people are perishing for lack of knowledge, and we're instructed to have nothing to do with the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what I do on What If We've Been Wrong? Rethink, explore, and uncover some hidden truths so that more people can experience an abundant life and the joy of being set free from the shackles that hold us in prison. Welcome to What If We've Been Wrong. Coach Ron Brown, thank you for being with me today on What If We've Been Wrong.
Terry, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You know what? I wanted to interview you because, you know, and you think about the title of my show, What If We've Been Wrong? Shining Light in Dark Places. You know, and I know that sports can be, you know, for good, or sports can really work for the enemy. And so I thought, let's shine some light in these dark places and just take a look at what you've done in your career and how you've used your faith, which has been growing and growing and growing over the years, and how that's helped young men be the people that God wants them to be. And so maybe a perfect place to start, and I really want, even if you're a non-believer listening to this show, we welcome you. We want to be able to share, if nothing else that you get out of this interview, is just, we all need help in being, how do I want to say this? Just raising the bar, being the people that God wants us to be, whether you're a believer or non-believer. So you're going to get something out of the interview. So Ron, why don't we start with your own personal journey of faith? Why did you become a believer? When did it happen? And we'll dig more into the sports factor in just a second.
Sure, Terry. I came from a somewhat of an interesting background. I was born in New York City. My mother was an African-American woman from the Deep South, studying to be a musician in New York City. And my father was an engineering student from India who was in America studying also in New York City. And my mother and my father met. It sounded like probably one night stand. I was conceived, born. My mother put me in an orphanage in New York City, and it was a Catholic orphanage, I was eventually taken as a foster child while I was very young by a couple in Massachusetts old enough to be my grandfather and grandmother, and they They eventually decided to adopt me, and you know, and it was a tremendous story. I grew up on a little island off the coast of Massachusetts called Martha's Vineyard by these older black people who didn't have very much money at all. And a bunch of other kids from the inner cities were also being brought to the island as foster kids, and some of them were adopted as well. So I grew up with a bunch of kids just like me who were from inner cities who nobody wanted. And we were raised in the world of sports and so forth. And I was raised mostly, as a lot of these guys were, in the Catholic Church. And I had a semblance of, obviously, intellectual belief in God, but I really had no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there was a lady who decided to do something that our Catholic Church didn't do very much, and she decided to have a Bible study for kids, like on a Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. And there was a bunch of kids started to come, and people started to recognize that they were lost in their sin, and they began to become born again. They began to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. And I was presented that opportunity.
I'm so sorry. How old were you then?
Oh, I was about 16 then.
Ooh, okay.
as a sophomore in high school, but I turned it down. But I, from that day on, I realized, Terry, that something was missing in my life. Something was wrong. And I started to run from God. I really, when I went to college, I went to Brown University and played football. It was an Ivy League school, and I was challenged academically and athletically to, I really wanted to be a player in the National Football League. I wanted to get a diploma. I had big dreams, and I was the first person from my family to go to college, along with my a fellow adopted sister. And so I really wanted to prove a lot, had a lot of performance-based type stuff in my brain. But I recognized when I was there that there was something drastically missing in my life, and I was running from the Lord Jesus Christ. And God kept putting Christians around me. And one day, by the help of a former football teammate and another young lady, they kind of corralled me. Independently, they corralled me. Little did they know that God was using both of them as agents in my life. And I recognized that I was a sinner, that I was lost, and that there was nothing I could do about my sin. And then I recognized also John 14:6, which says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I recognized that a holy God is the only one who could pay for my sin. Somebody had to pay for the sin. And it wasn't going to be through performance. It wasn't going to be through works. It wasn't going to be through what I had been taught in my church, that if I went to church and I did all these different things, that I would get saved. It was going to be me in repentance and admitting that I was a sinner, and for me to turn from my sin and to believe that God left heaven, came to earth as God the Son, Jesus Christ. And he paid the full price for my sin and the entire world's sin. And they buried him. And, of course, we know the story. Jesus rose from the dead, proving he was God. And the scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says in Romans 3:23. In Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. In other words, when any of that sin gets cashed in, you will be apart from a holy God forever in a place called hell. And the scripture goes on in that same verse to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. It was a free gift. God paid the entire penalty for me. And Terry, if somebody ever gave you a deal, like I said, listen, man, here's a bill you can't pay, but I'll tell you what, I will not only pay the bill for you, and even though you don't deserve it, and keep you out of going to jail, I'll pay for the bill. I'll pay for this mess that you made. And I will do all the stuff, the hard stuff with it. And you know what? Not only that, but I'll cover you the rest of your life. I'll give you an inheritance the rest of your life. You would say that's an unbelievable deal.
And that's exactly why I wanted to interview you, because I knew Ron's going to get it out of his mouth in the first 5 minutes. But how far did you go again in football? Walk us through that.
Sure. I was a starting player for most of my career, all-conference player for half my career. I was signed by the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots and the New York Jets. I was with the Chicago Bears for a little bit of time. For the next 3 to 4 years, I bounced around to different NFL teams. I was an undrafted free agent. And, you know, it was probably a pretty difficult experience. But because I was a Christian – God was showing me a variety of new things in my life, mm-hmm. and how I needed to learn how to follow Him. And He used the vehicle of sports, Terry, to help develop and shape that intimacy that He wanted to have with me. And through all the training and through all of the ups and downs of being signed by a team, not making it, bouncing around, going to another team, all those kinds of things, I began to grow in my walk with the Lord. I mean, there were times that I wanted to be discouraged, mm-hmm. but I recognized as I went through the Bible and the Word of God, the Bible began to really open up to me. And verses like Psalm 84:11, for example, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. You know, God, I realized that God had a plan for my life. Philippians 2:13, for God is at work within you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And you know what I really learned, Terry, through that process? I learned that this wasn't about me. This is about God's kingdom being expanded. And all I was going to be a servant, but a very fulfilled servant, and serving Him in the realm of sports. That's where He called me to it. Right. So God chose sports for me to live out my walk in faith with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a representative to Him, to be conformed into the image of Christ. So when people see me, they see the light of Christ living through me. They don't see me, they see Christ in me. That's what God has for every one of us who will trust Him as Savior and Lord.
Well, and they do see it, and I know that's why you're sort of a magnet, Ron. I don't know that won't go to your head because you're doing it all for the Lord, but you're a magnet. It just, your faith, your love of Jesus Christ radiates. I want to swing this over to children and sports. We can probably talk for a long mm-hmm. time on this. It'll probably lead over to the second segment, but as we all know, sports is such a big thing in the United States of America, and, you know, all different types of sports. Let's first start with how are you using it as this mechanism to glorify God? But let's first start out with how many children are involved with sports, and on average, how many years are they exposed to sports?
Well, one of the I think one of the realms that God wanted me in and keeping me in sports was through the vehicle of coaching. And so I get to coach so many individuals. But, you know, I recognized a statistic one day that really shocked me. There are approximately, I think we're now about 50 million youngsters between the ages of 8 and 18 in America who are involved in team sports. And you think about that, Terry, 50 million youngsters. I mean, that's the size of a good-sized nation across this planet. And think about what happens between the ages of 8 and 18. Most of us, you and I, were heavily shaped through those precious years. And so when you think about what happens in the world of sports, and I would bet the average, kid in this country or even adult in this country, I wouldn't be surprised to say that the average person in this country spends over 50% of their life somehow involved in the world of sports. They may not be participating, but they may be watching, they may be doing video games, they're listening to sports talk radio.
Absolutely. When I think about, you know, some of the parents on the sidelines, and it's all about just winning, 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 and they turn into tyrants. And it's like, no, that's not what God wants, you know, out of sports. So, tell me about you. You gave me a one little line, and I have no clue the story that's going to follow. Tell us about the little boy at the free throw line.
Yeah, it was a true story. When I was in high school, and this was before I became a Christian. When I was in high school, our basketball coach had some of us players on the high school basketball team referee summer league basketball games. And so it would be for little children. That would be one of the segments. And so I remember it was a championship game for the little guys, like 8, 9, 10-year-old kids. Mm-hmm. And it was a big audience. Everybody's around. And got near the end of the game, and this little 8-year-old boy, he was about 8 years old, had to go to the free throw line, and he had to make the two shots for his team to have a chance to tie the game and then send it into overtime. So he stood at the free throw line. There's like 1 second on the clock left, and I was the official that handed him the ball. And when you hand a young man a ball, he has like 10 seconds to get to take the shot. So he took his proverbial three bounces, looked like he had some swag to him, looked like he was going to knock this. People are screaming, horns are blaring. I mean, the place is going nuts in anticipation of what this kid's going to do. Some people are booing and hoping he doesn't make it. I looked around. I couldn't believe it. This is an 8-year-old kid. Oh. And the kid looked up at the rim, and all of a sudden he started looking around at the gym. And he realized what was happening. This is mass chaos, and this one, these two shots are going to be huge for him. And he, you know what he did? He looked at me. He dropped the ball and just started to cry. And I said, oh, my goodness, I've never seen this before. So, you know, the natural response is for people to say, oh, that's terrible. We put too much pressure on this kid. He's standing at the free throw line. I mean, he's just a little kid. He shouldn't have to go through all this. You people are out of your mind. It's about winning too much.
Right.
But I realized something. I realized something, Terry, since that day. I realized that there was something wrong with that little boy. And that little boy was so caught up in himself and his performance mentality and having to please everybody that fear set in. And the scriptures tell us in 2 Timothy 1:7, the scripture tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather of power, of love, and a sound mind. Mm-hmm. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear, for fear has torment. And boy, was that fearful boy tormented that day. But the love of Jesus Christ would have kicked that fear right out of him if he had a relationship with Jesus. And what I use it in terms of that picture, Terry, is to remind me that if you're driven by anything other than Jesus Christ, it's going to be fear-based, because you're now putting the whole world and the definition of success on yourself. You were never designed to carry that weight. No one is. And yet, you said it perfectly. These parents all want their kids to win. Why do they want their kids to win? They want their kids to win because they want to be considered as winners. It helps exalt themselves. And the root cause of all of this sin is Adam and Eve in the garden deciding that God's way is not the way. We're going to choose ourselves. And we have been prone to that. That is part of our sin nature. So if that little boy between the age of 8 and 18, if he doesn't understand the reality of Jesus Christ, if he doesn't understand that Jesus Christ can kick fear right out the door and allow him to maximize the potential that he's been given, what he's going to do, Terry, is he's going to take that after the age of 18. Most of these little kids turn into young men who don't play professional sports. He's going to go on into college. He's going to go on and with friendships. He's going to choose a wife. He's going to have children. And if he doesn't take care of that fear that he left on that free throw line, it can turn into domestic violence. It can turn into cheating on the job, adultery and bad relationships, pornography, abortion, a variety of things throughout your life. These things don't just stay contained in a, quote, harmless little boy. It's the sin nature in all of us. And what sports did was expose the sin that was in him. And now we have to look at that and say, okay, what next? What do we do? That boy needs the full empowerment of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that's exactly why I wanted to interview you. And don't go anywhere, listeners. In fact, I'm going to stop calling you listeners. You are our friends. And we want you to hear the whole story from Ron Brown and what he's doing with sports, not just at Liberty University, but quite frankly, all across America. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So glad glad you could join us back. This is Terry Beatley, and I'm interviewing Coach Ron Brown. He's the associate head coach out at Liberty University, the Flames running backs coach as of December 14, 2016. He joined Liberty University back in 2015 after it was 24 seasons as the assistant coach at Nebraska University. Ron, what we're going to do right now is let's swing this over to the topic of 100%. What do you mean by this? You had sent me this little memo saying 100 PCT. How is this applied to the football field?
Well, it's a good acronym for me, you know, to help remind me of why God has called me into the world of sports. And we always tell our players, we want 100%. You can't do any better than 100%. And you really shouldn't demand anything less. But I've used the PCT as an acronym. P standing for parable, C for crucible, and T for transferable. And what I mean by that is that parable, let's just talk about that for a minute. Mm-hmm. Jesus spoke to us in parables often. And what is a parable? Well, the word para in Greek, it means something that comes alongside of something else to help clarify it, to make it even sharper than what it was. And so Jesus told stories that made the gospel come alive and made it clearer. But he also used those parables to separate. He didn't bring everybody on board. The people who were hardened in their hearts got further away after they heard his parables, and the people who were softened in their hearts, that were sensing that they wanted to follow him, got closer as they began to understand the true gospel.
Because so Jesus a parable beat us over our heads, right? I mean, he gives us a choice.
No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. And so he used all kinds of things like sheep and soil and animals and flour materials. He just used so many different modern day things that were happening in people's lives to reveal the gospel. And he does that today. So I use football as a modern day parable to explain the gospel. And I'll give you an example. Let's say I coach running backs, and we teach running backs, listen, that one of the first things that you got to learn when you are a running back is you got to carry the football, and you have to carry it securely. We call it ball security. So people are going to try to rip the ball out of your arms, cause a fumble, and so that they can stop you and turn the ball in the other direction.
Right.
And so you have to be able to matriculate the ball down the field with tremendous tenacity and responsibility carrying the ball. But that's what God has called us to do with the gospel message. We're to carry the gospel message securely. The world wants to rip it out. I've been in so much trouble with the ACLU and all kinds of other organizations because they don't like the fact that I shared Jesus Christ in the public schools, or that I've written about him, or that I give him praise and glory after a particular game, or that I lead my team in prayer at various times. They are constantly have threatened my job and threatened. I mean, I've even had my life threatened over these kinds of things. But I'm not going to go to the end zones of life and leave the ball on the 1 yard line. No, we're going to take the gospel everywhere we go. What good is a Christian without the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I use football in that realm, for example, as a parable for the gospel. Crucible. Sports is a crucible. I mean, let's face it, it's a difficult process, the off-season training. And I've shared with my players, listen, about 30 minutes into our winning conditioning, I see you at this particular drill always quitting, always stopping. I said, listen, you have to push past that. And we have to learn as Christians that God has called us into a realm of suffering, that we may suffer along with Christ as well as glorify him. That's part of the glorification process. So Jesus will use suffering to make us more like him. Mm-hmm. And I think we can understand that in the world of sports. And so sports is a crucible, because when you're really tired, Terry, out on that field, the real you comes out.
Right.
You get exposed for who you are, your confidence level, your lack of it. Everything gets exposed at that point, your fear, And then you can honestly say, look, man, in the third quarter of that game, man, I began to go through a meltdown. I started thinking about myself. I forgot about what it was about with the team, and I started to think just about me. And you can almost pinpoint those particular times. So it's a great crucible. And then finally, it's transferable.
Well,
As I mentioned,
I just want to add something here about crucible.
Sure.
I've only had girls. And so, now I'm just laughing at it because I think, you know who else crucible is? The mothers who have to watch their boys get clobbered and tackled. And so if you were to watch me watch a football game, I'm oohing and awing. I'm like, and I often think about, oh, the mother. No, she's carrying that crucible too. Watching her
Is a great, that's a great one. That's awesome. That is great. But see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Sports in a variety of ways brings out all of these tendencies. And so we as parents, and you make a great point, moms, you may not know a lot about football, which foot to step with, which ball to put the hand, where you put the ball in one hand when you're going this way or that way or some strategy. You may not know a lot about that. And your son may look at you and say, Mom, what do you know? But you know your boy, and you know the meltdown, and you know what he's going through inside of him. You know when he's afraid. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that really limit his athletic ability, and those are the things that keep him wandering away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's important for parents to really tune in and understand what they can learn through sports. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, the T, is transferable. And really, again, Terry, we've kind of talked about this. At 18 years old, most of these high school youngsters are moving on apart from any more sports. So they're going to take what they've learned.
Right.
You know, I know, for example, Clarence Thomas, who's the Supreme Court Justice. When I was at University of Nebraska, he was calling me all the time because he's a big Nebraska fan. His wife is from Nebraska. And so he would say, hey, Coach Brown, why did we recruit this guy? What are we doing here? Blah, blah, blah. And I thought, man, doesn't he have more important things to be thinking about? He's running the country. He's a Supreme Court Justice. But I love Supreme Court Justice Thomas because you could tell that sports have helped shaped his thinking.
What did he play?
You know,
was he a football player? Was he football? I'm sure he was.
Well, I think I don't really know what he played back in his day,
yeah.
But I do know that he thought about sports a lot.
Right.
And again, you don't have to be a true athlete. There are times when you may just be watching it and thinking about it a lot, but it helps shape our culture. Good, bad, and ugly. And you think about all of the stuff that's going on in the world and some of the things that you're involved with, Terry, in terms of pro-life and the abortion industry and so forth. I would have to say that we in the world of sports have not helped the cause. We have actually driven people to more of an egocentric, self-centered lifestyle, which is at the very foundation of the abortion industry. And so I really want to see the Christian coach like myself, and I'm challenging myself and asking the Lord to help me to use sports as a vehicle to announce to the culture, listen, these years of sports can really have a dramatic effect on people. Let's look at it in a different way. Let's look at it from a biblical grid versus the worldly grid that keeps us centered on ourselves.
Let me ask you this. If you're at a secular university, because hopefully there are coaches out there right now at secular universities, educate them and all of our friends listening, to what degree can you share those parables? Can you be open with your faith at a secular university? What is it like right now?
Well, the environment is very hostile, and I experienced that when I was coaching at the University of Nebraska. I experienced it at Youngstown State. I know the chancellor at the time at the University of Nebraska didn't want me around at all.
Wow.
And I know that there were students and professors at Youngstown State that had a major issue with me being hired there because I had taken public stands for Jesus Christ. But I look at the Bible and I go back to the book of Daniel, and I say this, Terry, look, here's a young man who was, they were trying to brainwash him. The Babylonian Empire was to brainwash this Jewish Hebrew boy who knew and understood his love for the Lord and wanted to follow him. And they were trying to brainwash him and kind of dumb all that down. He refused to let it happen. In fact, it says in Daniel 1:8 that Daniel determined within himself that he would not defile himself with the king's food or wine. Right. And he took a powerful stand, but he had to be willing to take hits. And, you know, Terry, I think that's the problem. So if you're at a secular institution, you're a Christian coach, yes, you should stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ,
absolutely,
no matter what they say. Yeah, and be willing to lose your job.
I was just going to say that. Be in a position, yeah, absolutely, where you're going to stand up for Christ. All right, Ron, give us an example of, and I'm sure you have many, but maybe one will come to mind kind of profoundly, of a young man who you recruited, and this can be back at, you know, Nebraska University in that secular environment, but he went from no faith at all to responding to what God was writing on his heart, or had already written on his heart. Walk us through, without naming names, but from being so lost, maybe totally immersed in all the filth that this world offers that young man, to becoming a man of God. Can you think of one or two stories you'd want to share?
Yeah, there were a number of them, but I would choose one. And this is why, even though the university has told me that I need to back off, like the University of Nebraska, Liberty doesn't obviously, confine me to that because they're a Christian university, and I praise God for them. Mm-hmm. But the University of Nebraska was always trying to kind of have me shut down. And I remember a young kicker that came into my office one day, and he knew I was a Christian, and he was crying. And I said, "Hey, what's going on?" He sat down with me and he explained to me. He said, "Coach, I was engaged to be married here in a few months," and he said, my girl was just killed in a car accident, and he was just torn. Mm-hmm. And as he sobbed, and as I put my arms around him and prayed for him, we began to talk, and as I learned that he had never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, I mean, he all of a sudden started to think about these spiritual things because he had just lost his fiancée. And he was really shook. That day, well, long story short, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. He made the decision that he understood he was a sinner, and he invited Jesus Christ to be his Savior and Lord and recognize what Christ did for him on the cross. And this young man, wow, I mean, what a turnaround. He went on to become a great kicker for us and was a pro, had some pro ball time as well. But more fascinating is that he found a woman who, right there where we were, he was attending college in the same city, that was a Christian, and they got married, and they, of course, had children, and they asked me to come and kind of be a part of a ceremony for their children in a church there in town that we were all attending. And I just looked back on all of that. And here was the university saying, "You don't share your faith in Jesus Christ. That's not the thing to do at this university. This is a secular university. This is not a Christian university, so you shouldn't be saying all that." But I realized that this young man had come in and poured his heart out for me and needed some real answers in life.
Exactly.
And I gave him the only answers that could fulfill him. And it was just great to see that. So that's just one of many stories and one of the reasons why I'm going to continue to open my mouth about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is, in the secular university environments, worldview is still being taught. It's just a different worldview. So if it's not a biblical worldview, they're teaching a secular humanist worldview. And if it's not a secular humanist worldview, they're teaching a Marxist worldview or an Islamic worldview. There's always a worldview being taught. And so, you know, bravo to you, because you've never backed down. You have never, ever backed down. Or if you did back down, you pulled yourself up by the bootstraps and kept on going. You know, so we talked about, you know, all the children, these millions, what was it, 50 million kids are participating in sports, somewhere between 8 and 18 years old. And I like the way you compared this when we were talking the other day about a watering hole. Sports is the modern day watering hole. What advice would you give to parents? First, if they're Christian parents, what if you could sit every Christian parent down who has their kid involved in sports, what would you be telling them, Ron?
Well, I would say this. If you can take the idea of the hungry lion from tearing up a zebra hanging out at the watering hole, I would say to this, parent, you become the responsible lion at the watering hole. Mm-hmm. Because when lions want to eat, they learn that I've got to go to the watering hole because that's where they're all hanging out. That's where all the game is hanging out. Mm-hmm. And the lion inspects. He goes that watering hole. He is checking out the scene. He's planning. He's strategic. He knows what he's got to do, but it's not a quick decision. And so he surveys all kinds of things. I don't know a whole lot about lions, but I imagine that's what's happening. And the Bible tells us to do that as well. It tells us to be discerning. The scripture tells us in Deuteronomy 6 that we ought to be discerning parents, that we ought to be able to explaining the gospel message to our children regularly as they rise and as they sleep and in the middle of the day. And we ought to be able to use creative things like sports to remind them of their sin, to expose them of their sin. Ephesians 5:11 says, do not participate in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Exposure is really important, and it should be done in a right way. You're not trying to embarrass people and so forth, but our children need to know where they're wrong and where they're right. They need to know that there is a wrong from a right. They need to know that there's an absolute truth, that the earth is the Lord's and all that's in it, says in Psalm 24:1. You talked about biblical worldview versus a secular worldview. Well, there's not more than one truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Parents need to be involved in that process. And sports is a great way for them to recognize what's happening at the watering hole. Mm-hmm. So you may not know a lot about statistics and techniques and strategies and all of that, mom and dad, but what you do need to know is what God has built into your son and daughter and what he expects. And that means you have to study the scriptures for yourself. And then you have to see your children through the eyes of God. And then you're going to get a heart. Then you're going to start realizing, hey, rather than keeping them out of sports, I'll use sports as a tool to show them who they are and hopefully that they would long for Christ themselves.
Friends, we're going to be right back with Coach Ron Brown, and we're going to be digging a little bit deeper. Hang right in there. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
We're back with Coach Ron Brown, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper here into using sports as a great opportunity to build these young athletes, and in this case, he's working with football players, to raise up these young men, to be the young men God intended these guys to be, men of stature, character, men of honor, and using sports and parables to help these young guys understand. Coach, you had mentioned, when I first met you, about a young man who is now an NFL football player, but when he was under you at the college level, and this is a young man from Africa, when he mm-hmm. learned about like all the abortions that are being taken, that are taking place in America, he turned to you for answers. Can you kind of walk us through that journey and how you were able to help him process this?
Yeah, well, one day out of the clear blue, and he's been in the NFL for a number of years now, bounced around to two or three different teams. But one day he called me out of the clear blue, and he said, Coach Brown, do you realize that today there will be 56,000 abortions across the world before 12 noon? And I said, I didn't realize that. And he said, yeah, Coach, I can't believe it. And then he talked for about one more minute, and that was it. but it obviously had impacted him, and the reason why he was able to do that and felt comfortable with it is because this young athlete, who again was raised in Africa and a little bit here in the United States, has been able to find someone like a Christian coach like me. To relate some of the deepest, darkest times of his life. Mm-hmm. And I remember right before he was getting ready to do an interview one day, I said, do you realize what you're about to do? He said, what do you mean? I said, you're a Christian, right? He says, yes, I've given my life to Christ. I said, do you realize that that interview with all these media people around here is going to be like, it's going to be only 30 seconds that they carry, but it's going to cover the entire world. What are you going to say? Are you going to just talk about yourself? Or are you going to talk about what Christ is doing through you and what he wants to do around the world? Are you going to inspire people, or are you just going to exalt yourself? I challenged him.
Awesome.
And
it
took
That's
him back.
Awesome.
And then another time he came to me later because he felt that trust. And he said, Coach Brown, I found a woman that I want to marry, and she's a Christian, but I'm having a problem with my family because the tribal family that I have in Africa do not want me marrying outside the tribe. And not only is she from outside of the tribe, but she's from a different religious background and so forth. And so she's Christian. What should I do? And so he entrusted me with that. And so all I'm trying to say, Terry, is that these young men, they don't live in a vacuum. They're raised by us. And in many ways, you know, for a young man to come from Africa, leave his family behind to play American football, find Christ while he's here in America, and then want to live a Christian life, he needs some Christian mentors. You don't want him just to be disrespectful to his family, but he has a new family now as well. And I was part of that new family. And so when he brought up that day, I mean, you can see your own child biologically one day calling you up and saying, Mom, Dad, I didn't realize the abortion industry and the way it was happening. Well, he kind of viewed me that way. He wanted someone to talk to because it was horrifying for him to realize that there would be 56,000 murders before noon today around the planet.
Wow. And you were there for him. You know, I keep thinking, you know, at a secular university where it's anything goes. If it feels good, do it. You know, there is no right. There is no wrong. Everything is relative. And this is how we, you know, we have, you know, millions of kids growing up in this. And so I just want to encourage the parents, people listening to this interview, you know, even if your child is on a team, you know, with a non-believing coach, look at the opportunity that you have. And of course, it even convicts my heart because one of my kids spent her whole life around sports, and it for me, it's kind of convicting because it's like, wow, I could have done a much better job in, you know, using parables just like you've done. But be that as it may, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for sharing the story about the African player. Now, one thing I didn't say that I'd like to go into because it just occurred to me when I first started talking with you, you shared about the that sex scandal at the Penn State with Joe Paterno. I don't want to get into the nuts and bolts of what happened because that's not the purpose of this interview, but you did something, Ron, on that football field because it was Nebraska University, if I'm right on this, versus Penn State.
Penn State.
Walk us through. Mm-hmm. God gave you an opportunity to stand up for Christ on this football field at the height of this debacle. Walk us through what happened and how God used you.
Well, we were actually getting ready to play Penn State at the University of Nebraska. It was in November. It was a late season game, big game. It was going to determine who was going to be in the lead in the Big Ten Conference. And this was back in 2011. And then all of a sudden, I think it was Wednesday, the scandal hit. All the stuff with Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky, the abuse of children, it all went down. And it, of course, was international news. And the big question was there even going to be a football game? Mm-hmm. Because they were taking people to jail, they were firing people, and it was just unbelievable what was going on. And the powers to be thought there should be a football game, nationally televised ESPN game. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that the entire world was going to be watching this game. And the stadium holds 107,000 people, and of course, everyone was going to be there, and media from all over the world. So as we begin to prepare for the game, I began to wonder, is this going to be a safe environment? What's going to happen? There were rumors of bomb threats and all kinds of things that were going to take place in this stadium. They decided to have a game, so we went to, our team traveled from the University of Nebraska to Penn State on the Friday, the day before the game. And that night, eventually, I got a call from one of our administrators who said that they want to do a prayer, and they're asking you to lead the prayer.
And this is at a secular university.
Yeah. And that's the first thought I had. I was like, where's the ACLU here? I mean, these universities are usually ready to throw me out on the street, and now they want me to pray. But I said, you know, I just put it in front of the Lord. And so Larry Johnson was the defensive line coach at Penn State, and I called Larry because I knew Larry was a Christian. And I said, Larry, listen, let's just take our team out onto the middle of the field and let's have a prayer before the game. And he said, you go ahead and lead it and we're in. And so sure enough, something unprecedented happened that next day. At the 4-minute mark before the actual kickoff, both teams were to show up in the middle of the field and just pray. It was actually a mandatory prayer, Terry. I mean, of all things,
really?
I mean, who would have ever thought?
And that part
ESPN,
I did not know.
Well, it's mandatory in the fact that who is going to sit it out? I mean, I don't remember anybody saying, hey, this is optional. Mm-hmm. Both teams were to go out there. But right before it happened, I was standing on the sideline, and an ESPN announcer who I knew, and he was a Christian, I said to him, hey, do you realize what's going to happen here? And he said, no. I said, and I explained. He said, you're kidding me. And then he phoned the play-by-play guy upstairs who was also a Christian, a strong Christian guy. And they said, are you kidding? And so they decided to put a feeder and a mic right in the middle of that prayer huddle.
That's awesome.
And so you can go online and even look at it. A mass of players and coaches are out on the field. And I stood up, and there were 107,000 people there, Terry. And you had people from the military with bayonets. You had German Shepherd dogs. You had all kinds of security there, media there. And I have never seen in my life a stadium. I've been in many stadiums now where 107,000 people were dead quiet. I could hear myself, sneeze. I mean, I could hear people in the audience coughing as I prayed. Mm. And I prayed over John chapter 1, verse 14, that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And so we prayed for safety. We prayed for courage. We prayed for the victims. We prayed for the perpetrators and that the truth would come out. But what I really prayed for as well, Terry, was the young people and people across the planet who are watching the game, particularly young little boys who were trying to define what manhood was all about, that Jesus would have an impact on their life right there. So it was a national and really an international stage to invite the world to go to the Lord Jesus Christ through a sporting event. And so God used it in a powerful way.
Well, but God used you and you were prepared. You were ready. You probably didn't have butterflies in your stomach or whatever. You were ready. And that's what we need. And as a woman, we need more men who are ready to defend the faith, who are ready to, you know, we live in such a day of radical feminism and all of this. One of my former interviews was with Mallory Millett, who explained the history of radical feminism and how Marxism really took over the feminist movement, if you will. And it was all about grinding patriarchy down, grinding the American family down, literally their goal to destroy the American family by way of a cultural revolution. So as a woman speaking to Coach Ron Brown, you know, and you've got so many connections with young men all across this country and probably the world. You know, as a woman, I say, keep being strong, keep being leaders. You keep doing what you're doing, trying to raise these young men up to be men of character, because as women, we need those men. We need them. I'm so tired of hearing the radical feminists, you know, they're trying to make everybody just androgynous. We need strong men and strong men of faith. And so I just think it's awesome what you're doing.
Thank you for that admonition and that encouragement to me, Terry. That means a lot to me. But I have to say this. I think in the whole of that, in the inspiring young men to really step up and live out their faith, it starts with my brokenness and my sin and my repentance, because Terry, I have not been a perfect man, and I've allowed things to creep into my life at times that are not right before the Lord, and God has had to discipline me. And I think before a man can become strong, he has to recognize that he's weak.
Right.
And the Bible says in Philippians 3, when I am weak, excuse me, it's actually 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when I am weak, then I am strong. Mm-hmm. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because I realized then at that point that I'm allowing God to search and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if there is, that I can confess it to him and recognize that I'm even though I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior way back in 1979, my senior year in college, you're not going to lose your salvation at this point because it's eternal. But I at times I'm not in intimacy with him. There are times when I've allowed the flesh and sin to kind of take me in paths that I shouldn't go. Mm-hmm. And God has had to discipline me and rear me back. And so I think that's where it starts for a man. A man who is going to be strong has to recognize, first of all, that I am weak, that I'm sinful. I need some accountability around me. I need biblical accountability. I need to be in the Word with Jesus Christ. But I need to be around fellow men who will call me to account when they see things in my life that aren't right as well.
So if someone's listening right now and your words, you know, whatever, incite conviction in their own heart and mind right now, what would you advise them? Like right now, they've just heard you say that. What would you recommend they do?
Call it out, man. What's wrong in your life? Mm-hmm. Call it out. You know, you and God know. If there's something in your life that's not right, that you know that you could never invite the Lord Jesus Christ to walk into this room that has something that's going on that you knew that Jesus could, I could not bring him into that. Something on your computer, I could not bring him into that. Mm-hmm. Some kind of relationship that you're carrying on, some kind of secret that you're holding back, something that you know that God knows about because he knows everything, but cannot accept. If you know somebody who's going in the wrong direction, or if you know that you are going in the wrong direction, you be as hard as you need to get that person to stop, change direction, because eternal life and death is at stake.
Oh.
And what could be too great of an obstacle to stop something that's going to destroy someone's life?
Absolutely.
Get them pointed in the direction
right.
of Jesus Christ.
Now, one of the ways you're pointing people in the right direction, still using sports, is you are connected with, what is it called, Right Now Media, sportsparables.com, and Called to Compete. We just have a little bit of time left, like a minute and a half. Just kind of give a rundown, Ron, what these three websites are about.
Right Now Media is a large website now that churches are using for a variety of different subjects. So your church may have it, it may not, but you can ask about that. And there's not much in the world of sports in that website, but I'm involved. A lot of the stuff that I do is on there. Some of the talks that I've given, some of the just teaching lessons. SportsParables.com are just what they said. They're little vignettes that show a teaching progression in sports, and then how it relates to the gospel of Jesus Christ, how it relates to a biblical characteristic.
A parent mm-hmm. who has a kid involved with sports, the parent could, whatever, once a day or once a week, once every 2 weeks, just sit down with their child together and they can watch one of these little video vignettes, sportsparables.com, right?
Absolutely, because they last only about 5-6 minutes long, but it's a great, opportunity to take your youngster through the scriptures using a sports parable to do it.
Awesome.
And it keeps them interested, and it's a good, I think a clever way of being able to get them to open the Bible and read a little bit.
Good. Friends, mm-hmm. I mean, if you look up Ron Brown, you can probably find out where he's speaking and look at some of the article he's written. Ron, do you have a parting word? Because our time's about used up here.
Well, I would say open your Bibles and start reading the Word of God and hear from God himself. And understand what his kingdom is all about, and where you fit, whether you have not trusted Jesus Christ as saving Lord, or you have, you continually need to be fed and nourished, and that's where you get it. And so that is my parting. That's the best thing that I could ever say to you, is that you need a vehicle of truth and absolute truth, and that is the Word of God, the Bible. That's God's love letter to you and to me and for everyone across this planet.
Thank you. Coach Ron Brown, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to interview you. And again, this is tied into what if we've been wrong? And I wanted to interview Coach Ron Brown because what if we've been wrong in thinking sports is just about the win? And Coach Ron Brown has just proven it is so much greater than about the win. It's about Jesus Christ and expanding his kingdom. And for that, I'm grateful. Coach Ron, thanks for being on today.